Come on, come on. 10:15 service. How are we doing this morning? You good? The real church members in the building that could be at the lake right now, but you decided to be in the presence of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And you're awake and clapping. This is awesome for a youth pastor, okay? So, hey, thank you so much for coming today on Memorial Day weekend, a.k.a. Youth Pastor Sunday. So Pastor Andy's actually out hanging out with some other pastors right now, getting refreshed. He's going to come back next week, and it is going to be awesome, okay? But, hey, just for a second, we definitely got to give honor where honor is due and just remember our fallen soldiers who have spilt their blood for this country so that we can come in here this morning and do what God has called us to do. So can you give it up for all of our fallen soldiers, all of our current soldiers? Man, we still believe in this country at this church. And so, man, I'm excited about today. And just anytime I ever get to come up here and speak on a Sunday, I just got to tell you how much of a privilege it is for Michelle and I to do what we do and serve as our student pastors here across three campuses. Man, God's doing incredible things. And so I just want to tell you thank you so much for letting us do this and letting us serve on this team, because we believe that God is using this church to seriously change the world. And I hope that today, as we go into this message, we've got a lot to cover, but I hope today, man, I can just compliment the vision of Desperation Church and that we can really dive into it. Look at somebody next to you and say, you ain't ready. Come on, I'm a youth pastor, so I'm going to need you to look at them and say, you ain't ready. Come on, you got to get serious with it, okay? And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Travis, and I am a youth pastor, so I like to have fun at all points in time, okay? So feel free to say amen. You can say preach it, work the word, okay? Come on, son, that'll be good. Anything, all right? So we're going to have some fun today. But hey, if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we'll start in verse 1. Let me tell you a little bit about what's happening right here with Jesus. Man, he is right in the middle of the mission that God has given him. He's going from town to town, preaching to everybody about what the truth really is, man. And, man, he's seeing people get healed, people being saved. Some incredible things are happening right here with Jesus. And then we open up right here to the very first verse, which I think is one of the coolest verses in Scripture that we can overlook a lot of times. Opens up with the very first verse. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Now, so today we really thought that it would be really fitting to talk about, like, what is Jesus's heartbeat as we go into the last week. This is the last week of our series called For Heaven's Sake. And so we want to know, like, what is it? What is the heartbeat of heaven? What happens for heaven's sake? And this is where we catch up with him right here. Going back into verse 2, it says, this made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating himself with such sinful people and even eating with them. Let me pray for us real quick, and we're going to dive into a message called The One. Everybody say, The One. Come on, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the opportunity you've given us today, God, to just come into your presence, Lord, and worship you. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name, God, that you would come in here, God, that you would speak a message that I cannot speak, God, that you would preach a message I cannot preach, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would do something in this room, Father, so that we could be empowered to go out and reach just one more. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And everybody said, how many of you in here have ever been in a hostage situation? Anybody? No, kind of a random question to ask in church, okay? And so let me tell you about a time I was actually in a hostage situation, okay? It was actually on a mission trip, okay? And so missions are awesome. You should do it, okay? We were in Nicaragua, and it was my first mission trip to ever go on. I'm looking at some people in the crowd that were actually there, okay? So I'm about to tell you guys a story of this hostage situation. But we were in Nicaragua, which, by the way, we have an interest meeting next week if you would like to go. We were in Nicaragua. It was my first mission trip, and we took a few baseball players, some students, a couple of coaches, and a couple of pastors to Nicaragua to, of course, share the gospel, to play baseball with the kids, to give them some free things, to do some serve projects. And so, man, we're like out in the middle of the jungle, okay? Now, I don't know, like, what your view of, like, mission trip is. Like, this one is one where, like, you're out there, okay? Like, there aren't any lights. When God turns off the light, the sun, it's dark, okay? And so you're out there. You're at about a five-hour trip on a truck. You're riding in the back of a truck out into the jungle with, like, panthers and bears and koala bears and other things. And so I don't think they were there, just, like, lions all over the place. I killed one. And so, Spirit of David, you know? And so we're out here in the middle of the jungle doing our mission work, and we talked to Lloyd, who's our missions guy down there, our translator, and we're like, Lloyd, come on, man. We've been out here for like 6 days. Can we just go back to the mission house and like do some work and like sleep for a few more hours than we're actually getting right here? And so we actually talk him into it. And so we go out of the jungle and we're trucking it literally about 5 miles an hour down this dirt road. Okay, y'all complain about I-22 or Corridor X. You don't know Nicaragua, okay? There are potholes everywhere. You got to go a solid 5 miles an hour or else you'll bounce out of the truck, okay? And so we're just like barely going back on this thing. And there's three main roads in Nicaragua. And so there's three major cities, three main roads, and they all intersect at this one little bitty village. And we had came through there on the way out. And so we're pulling back into this village. And at all three parts of the intersection, there were trees on the road. I'm not talking about like a branch over the road or some brush. Like there were like tree trunks over the road. Okay. There's no getting out and just moving this thing out of the way and continuing on. Not only that, there was what seemed to be 10 to 20,000, it might've been 200, angry Nicaraguan people with machetes. Some of them had guns. And then this was the worst part of all. They had bandanas over their face right here. Okay. And I've watched enough ghetto movies to know this ain't no joke. Okay. It's either like pollen was intense at that period of time or these people aren't playing around, you know? And so we pull up and there's these 200 plus angry Nicaraguan people with machetes and they're just like yelling. We're the first car to pull up, okay? A bunch of these students, first mission trip, like I just got married like a month ago. So this was like my first time out of the house, if you know what I mean, okay? And so, honeymoon phase, you know, all right? And so we pull up and there's this guy that just walks out from around the crowd. He's got this machete. He's got his bandana on. He's just like, he's just looking at us. He's just looking around, like creeping around, looking at us, walking around the truck. And I am panicking. Okay. I was so scared. Okay. Cause number one, just been married a month. I'm ready to get back home to my bae. Okay. For my older people to know what that means, girlfriend, wife. Okay. And so I'm ready to get back home. I was seriously, no joke, ready to abandon everyone, all of the students, all of my friends. I had 5 escape routes planned, okay? I was like, I'm gonna creep out of here. I'm gonna go behind that shack right there, and then I'm gonna zigzag route because it's hard to shoot people that way, straight through Mexico, right back to Coleman, right? And so this guy's just creeping around, just looking at us. And Coach Patterson was right there with us. I don't know if he's in the service, but if you know Coach Patterson, he's one of the elders here at our church and attends at our Coleman campus. He's the local baseball coach. And Coach Patterson, like if you could describe him in one word, it's fierce all the time. Like every moment is an intense moment. And so I'm sitting right next to Coach. And like we're sitting down, like I look up, I don't know why I'm bending down, but I am. I look at him, I was like, hey, Coach, what are we going to do? You know, and like it was like a scene from a movie. His face looks over at me. He goes, Travis, I may die today, but somebody's dying with me. I'm not lying. Verbatim, okay? With maybe a cuss word. And so I look back at him, I was like, hey, Coach, I just peed on myself. And I did. And so all that to say is, what was happening? You see, what happened was, what was happening is that the Nicaraguan government was actually selling these people's land straight out from under them. So these people that lived there generation upon generation upon generation, they were willing to go and fight and protest and riot for their land, for their territory, what they believed was theirs. We actually even asked our missionary. We were like, hey, what would happen? You know, what was going to happen with that? Because we actually lied to the angry Nicaraguan people a little bit. We were like, hey, we've got sick children in here. They need to get to a hospital. And we just went on, okay? And so, like, your children are safe, but we lied just a little bit, right? So, but we were like, hey, what would happen? What would happen if you know, things got bad? They were like, well, the police would show up. Like, they were nonchalant about it. Like, this happens all the time. Like, the police would show up, and there would be machete fighting. And we were like Civil War style, like you would go up and just fight people like a pirate gar. You know, they would fight them and then shoot each other and then it would be okay. You know, I'm like, no, zigzag route, Mexico, Coleman, right? And so, but they were willing to fight what they believed was there. They were willing to fight for it. And so my question, because man, Memorial Day, we got the chosen frozen people in church today. Like, y'all are the committed people that could be at the lake, but you're in church today. So like, I wanna talk to my people in here and offer a challenge to us and ask a question. What is it in your life that you're willing to die for? What is it in your life that you're willing to fight for? The big question is that we need to ask in here today is, what is it that Jesus was willing to fight for? What was the mindset of Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth? If we can discover what that is, then we can discover what it is as a church, what our mindset needs to be, what we need to fight for. So we're going to read three different parables, three different stories that actually all align with each other. It's really cool how Jesus aligns everything in Scripture. Nothing contradicts each other. In fact, it all lines up. And he tells three stories back to back to back about the one. Everybody say one. The story about one. So he offers us this principle about just one more. In fact, he tells it back to back to back, I believe, to put the emphasis on what heaven's mindset is at all points in time. So our series is called For Heaven's Sake. We're going to bring everything back together with what is for heaven's sake. What does heaven fight for? What is heaven looking for? And I believe that the scriptures can speak for themselves, okay? So look at somebody next to you and say, just one more. Just one. Y'all are whispering this morning. It's so weird, okay? Number one, the lost sheep. Okay? The lost sheep. Starting in verse 3, it says, so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together all of his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven. Everybody say heaven. There's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. All right, now I want to offer up a little bit of math right here, okay? And all this stuff right here is gonna make a little bit more sense in a minute. And I brought a whiteboard today because I am a visual learner, okay? And I'm a youth pastor. And so with students, like, you got to put something in front of them. They're like, you want me to go read something? No. But if I put something in front of you, then you can understand it a little bit better, okay? So here's what Jesus says. He says, there is 99 sheep. By the way, I cannot write very well, so you're just going to have to excuse me, okay? 99 sheep, but one is missing. We're going to do just a little bit of math, okay? Please don't make fun of me with this whiteboard. All right, 99 sheep, but one is missing. So here's kind of the mindset whenever we read scripture that I think that we get into a lot of times. When we read about the 99, we're like, oh, just look at how sweet Jesus is. There was 99 sheep, and he's just saying, you know what, that shepherd just goes after that one right there and he puts it on his shoulders. He just brings it back to the other 99 and everything is good and great and everything else, right? That's how I read scripture in that voice right there. I'm just playing. I think that's how we read scripture a lot of times. So as we say, all right, so there's 99 sheep. Jesus leaves it, goes after the one. Read scripture with me. He says, won't he leave the 99 sheep and go after the one? As if to say, okay, that's a good and cute story and everything if we read it from our perspective. But Jesus says, if a shepherd loses one sheep, which the Bible refers to us as sheep a lot of times, which is also known as the dumbest animal on the planet, okay? So like, thank you, Lord. So, but Jesus says, won't he leave the 99? Like that's an obvious right there. If there is 100 sheep and one goes missing, won't he leave the 99 and go after that one? But I think a lot of times we say, you know what? No, the 99, it's safe. 99 is safe. There's power in numbers. But I believe what Jesus is trying to tell our church, the church as a whole, is that we can't be focused on this number right here. We've got to be focused on the one. I remember what it was like when I was the one. I remember being 21 years old on a three-day drinking binge in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Y'all, we need to pray for Tuscaloosa, right? And it ain't that holy of a place, you know what I'm saying? Like, Roll Tide, War Eagle, go Blazers, okay? But three-day drinking binge in Tuscaloosa, and since my teenage years, I've been a borderline alcoholic, didn't have mom or dad at home to take care of me or teach me what good moral principles really were. I mean, I remember what it was like to have what everyone else would call the funnest weekend of my life, but know that deep down inside, there was something more that was calling me out. There was something calling me towards God, and I couldn't explain it at that point in time. Now I know it's the Holy Spirit, that His voice was calling me back home. I remember what it was like to go to work the next day, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't the hangover, and it was the Holy Spirit, but, you know, sometimes they can feel similar. I'm just playing. But just felt sick that day. They're laughing. Was sick that day. Not because I was sick physically, but I could feel that I was sick spiritually. I remember that night, went home to grandmother's couch and prayed to receive. You know, grandmother's couch is holy. She'll cuss you out and then give you scripture all at the same time, right? Like, only they can do that. I can't do that, you know? And so I gave Jesus my life. I said, Jesus, I want you to either be Lord of all or not Lord at all. If I'm going to do this thing, like, I'm giving you all of my life. I'm not doing this halfway Christianity that I see everybody else doing. Like, God, I'm giving my life to you today. I remember even praying and saying, Jesus, I want to be closer to you than the disciples were while they were walking next to you on this earth. Like, when I say I want to hand my life to you, I want to hand my life to you. And I was called home on that day. And some of you in here, you're this first person that we read about in the beginning of the scriptures. You're the lost, you're the one, the sinner. He starts off what we just read in the very, very beginning saying, tax collectors and other notorious sinners came to listen to Jesus. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain. So in the very beginning of Luke chapter 15, we see three different types of people. We see the people like who I was that I just told you about, the lost one, the sinner, the one who is in need of something, that's being called home, the one. And then we see Jesus, and because we're not Jesus, but we strive to be like him, that would put us in the category of somebody else that would have been in the audience that day, the disciples. And then the last one is the Pharisee. All three types of these people right here are in this room. All of us either fall into the sinner category, the disciple category, or the Pharisee category. All three types. All of us fall into one of these categories today. The question is, where's your focus? If you're here, man, Jesus is calling you home today. He's calling for you to give him your whole life, not half of it. Some of you, you're the disciple. You've given your life to Jesus. You're just hot about everything that he wants to do in your life. You need to know where your focus needs to be, because where the enemy's going to try and get it is to this religious thought process that we talk about all the time. But where Jesus wants your mindset is after the one. Because what happens is, when we see the 99, the Pharisee says, stay right here. Everything is safe right here. But at some point in time as a church, if we're going to reach people and do everything that God has called us to do, we've got to trade our security for significance. Jesus classifies his significance as found in the one. For heaven's sake, go after the one. Everybody say the one. The second parable we see is the lost coin. Verse 8, it says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one. Won't she light a lamp? Remember, he says it again. Won't she light a lamp? She's lost one coin. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is more joy in the presence of God's angels, talking about in heaven, when even one sinner repents. This woman has lost her quarter and she must find it. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about the scripture right here. So, the great theologian named Jake Hinden, okay, if you don't know him, he was here last week. Did Jake do an incredible job? Can we give it up for Jake real quick? Come on. Our ARAB campus pastor. Now, Jake is seriously one of the smartest, most brilliant people when it comes to talking about scripture that I've ever met in my life. And so Jake was telling us about this portion of scripture, and what most theologians believe is that when she lost, she obviously has 9 more coins. She loses one coin right here, okay? When she loses this coin, that you would think this is like losing $100 or it'd be losing some money that I was going to go and buy something to eat with. Not so the case with the audience that Jesus is speaking to. So most likely what we believe Jesus is speaking to is a culture of people who are rich in their agriculture. So they farm a lot. They live off the land a lot. So for this lady right here to lose this one coin really wasn't all that big of a deal to her. So she would have been just fine with 9 more coins and then whatever she grew to eat on, right? She was going to be completely fine. But that's not the attitude of Jesus. That's not the attitude of heaven. Jesus is not just satisfied with this. In fact, he says, won't she sweep the entire house? And then this is how you know the Bible's true. Like, you know scripture is true. She pulls a total chick move, right? She gets her coin. She says, girls, I have found my coin. Why don't y'all come on over here? We're going to celebrate and watch The Bachelorette together. You know, right? He know. Come on. The Lord knows this. You know what I'm saying, ladies? That's what she does, though. She has 9 other coins. She could have lived off the land. Everything could have been fine for her. But no. She would not rest. She was flipping her house upside down. She was going through the couches. I don't know if they had couches back then. But when I lose quarters or the remote or my cell phone, that's the first place I go, right? She's searching everywhere just so she can find this lost coin. What Jesus is trying to tell us right here is that there's lost people out there. There's a lost coin out there. And we can't be satisfied, church, with the other 9. We can't be satisfied where it's safe. We got to be willing to do whatever we can, short of sin, just to go after the one. This is who Jesus loves. This is who Jesus is caring about. This is who Jesus wants us to go after. I remember hearing a story from one of my favorite preachers, and he was talking about how he took his family on a trip to Gatlinburg. Has 4 or 5 kids. I can't really remember, but one of their kids, just kind of like the sheep we just read about just a little while ago, decided, I'm just going to go wandering off in the middle of Gatlinburg like kids do sometimes. And if you're a parent in here, you know how much panic that causes. I can attest to this because I was that kid one time and my mom beat me up and down, okay? So I'm the man I am today because of that. And so one of the kids goes off missing. And so immediately, you know, as a parent, you start panicking just a little bit. It gets the whole crew, the wife and the kids outside and says, hey, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, you're going to go here. We've got to find your lost son. Goes up to a security guard and says, hey, man, have you seen this kid? Looks about like this. I've lost my son and I need your help. And the security guard, he said, he was just kind of passive about it. Like, well, have you checked with the clerk inside? Yeah, I've checked with the clerk inside. Well, have you walked around the building a couple of times and checked, see if you can find your son? But man, I don't know if you understand what I just told you. My son is lost, and I have got to go find him. Hey, can you help me whatsoever? He said it was all he could do not to punch that security guard right in the face, and I probably wouldn't have blamed him for it. But I think how we can relate that whole story to us is, man, I don't want to be the security guard as a church. I don't want that to be us. When Jesus comes to Desperation Church and says, have you seen my son or have you seen my daughter? I don't want to be like, well, you know, there's a good small group over there. No, I'm going to lead the small group because there's a lost one out there. Well, yeah, have you checked with our DC Connect team? I'm on that team because I'm shaking hands so I can soften the hearts of people. So when they walk in here, their soul is fertile, like what we talked about last week. So when they hear the voice of God, when they hear the word of God, it falls on fertile soil because I've looked them in the eyes and shook in their hand and said, thank you so much for coming to Desperation Church today. Jesus loves you. So that when they come in here and they sit in this seat and they hear the word of God, it falls on fertile soil. And they give their life to Jesus and we reach just one more. Everybody say one. We've got to be a church committed to reaching just one more. And then the last one that we read about is the lost son. Now, let me give you a little bit of a preference of what's happening right here, or a preface of what's happening right here with this scripture. This is the lost son or the prodigal son, as some of you have probably heard it before. And I'm not going to read the whole parable because it's a very long parable to end up, to end up Luke chapter 15. So let me tell you a little bit about what's happening. The son comes to the father, obviously a wealthy man. Is like, hey, dad, I want my inheritance so I can go off and do my own thing. The father gives him his inheritance. He goes off. And the Bible says that he squandered it on wild living. And so we actually catch up with the son who is eating out of a pig trough after he squandered all of his wealth, all of his inheritance. And to be in a pig trough was like the lowest of lows that you could ever get to, because like pigs with the Israelites were actually looked upon as like the dirtiest type of animal, which I don't really understand that because I love bacon, okay, right? Some of y'all are going to eat some pork today, right? And I believe it's holy, okay? And so he's eating out of this pig trough and he says, man, my life would be so much better if I could just go back and be one of my father's servants. Not even be a son, just be one of his servants. So he hightails it back to camp. And that's where I love the portrait of scripture that it paints for us, is that the son goes running after the father. And then the father goes running after the son. He goes and meets him, and the son plans on telling him, hey, dad, I just want to be a servant in your household. The dad's like, no, you are my son. You are my rightful heir. You come in here. And this is where we catch up in verse 22. He says, but his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe and put it in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. So let the party begin. Verse 25, it says, meanwhile, the older son, the other brother, was in the fields working, and when he returned home, he heard the music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of his servants, what is going on? He said, your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in, and the father came in and begged him, but he replied, listen to the brother's reply. He said, all these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, never have you given me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. So this scripture is super important, I believe, to our life and super practical to our life. And this message really, or that parable can really just be a whole sermon in and of itself. But I want us to notice one thing that Jesus does in this scripture. Jesus begins Luke chapter 15 talking about three different types of people. He's talking about a sinner. Obviously, he's in this right here. We can put the disciples in this category of people who are being like Christ. And then the Pharisees and the leaders of the religious law. And he ends Luke chapter 15 talking about three different types of people. We have the lost son. We have the father who goes and meets the son. And then we have the brother. So he begins and ends Luke 15 talking about three different type of people, all three of which we fall into the category. The sinner is equal to the lost son. Some of you, maybe that's who you are today. It's time for you to get out of the pig pen and just come running home. Dad wants to meet you right where you're at, and he's not going to scold you. Maybe you've heard that over and over and over again. Our God is a God of love. He has paid the penalty for your sin. You just have to hand your life over to him today. Jesus has came. He died on a cross to pay our penalty. But 3 days later, he rose again so that we may have life and have life more abundant, so that we may be his children, so that we may be his son or daughter. So if you're that lost son today, if you're that one, it's time to come home. And maybe you're in here and you can fall into this category right here as you are a disciple of Christ. Here's what I would tell you as a church, as a people of God, we've got work to do. We have a mission, and that mission is just for one more. I had to do this. Last service, I didn't do this, but I had to do it for this service. I wrote our vision up here on the board. We have 4 points of vision. If you've ever been through Connect class, you know that we just do 4 things. We focus on 4 different things. The presence of God, which is kind of like our weekend services. And man, we pray on Wednesday nights at Converge. If you've ever been to Converge, like, we do that so that people will come in here on Sunday mornings and hand their life to Jesus, because we believe the presence of God is powerful enough to change people. Before they ever hear a word through this microphone, through the speaker, and into your ears, we believe the presence of God is what changes lives. So that's a part of our vision, man. We want to focus in on the presence of God. And 2, as small groups, we believe life changes is built and happens in the context of relationships through small groups. And then 3 is our DC Connect team. We believe we're better together as a team. We believe we're better together as an army. And then the last one right here, of course, missions. And I like to tell people all the time, what that really means is be the mission. It's not just talking about mission trips. As Desperation Church, we are the mission, the great commission of Jesus. Go and tell all people, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what we do. So if you fall in 2 category right here, this is what you do. This is the 4 things that we do here at Desperation Church. And this isn't here just to do it. The reason why we have 4 points of vision is because 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 all equal 1. We go after 1. The reason why we do weekend services is because we're just trying to get 1 more. The reason why we prepare so hard for messages is because we got to reach 1 more. The reason why we do a team, we try to make things as excellent as possible, because we're trying to reach just 1 more. The reason why we've got to work as hard as we can is because we got to reach just 1 more. The reason why we do small groups is because we got to reach just 1 more. The reason why we do a team is because we got to reach just 1 more. The reason why we go on mission trips, the reason why we do serve days, the reason why we build a grill and go around all of our cities is because we have got to reach just 1 more. We don't do it just to do it. This is a strategy just to reach 1. Because Jesus makes it plain and makes it obvious that his heartbeat and the heartbeat of heaven is for just 1 more. You never know. If you're in here and you're in this category right here, we got work to do. We got to get on it. We got to go after it. Man, we got 2,600 people over 3 different campuses. Can we just chill out for just a little bit? No, because there's 1 more out there. And as long as there's 1 more left, we got to go after them. Won't we leave the 99, church? And this is our avenue to do it. And then if you're here today, man, let God bring you to here. If you're here today and your life has just been nothing about complaining, now, that's not where God wants you. God wants you focused on the one, and anything we can do just to reach 1 more. And you have that call on your life. In fact, I want to tell you a story about somebody who reached just 1 more. This man's name is Edward Kimball. You probably never heard of Edward Kimball. It's over 100 years ago. Edward Kimball decided to lead a Sunday school class of young men. And he had 1 young man in there that he decided to meet in a shoe store one day, and that man was named Dwight L. Moody. Maybe you've heard of Dwight L. Moody if you've been in the faith for a while, a theologian, an evangelist. Dwight L. Moody preached a message one time in Wilbur Chapman. Every time I hear the word Wilbur, by the way, I think of the pig. Okay, I don't know why. Sorry, ADD. He preached a message. Wilbur Chapman gave his life to Jesus. Wilbur Chapman hosted an event where a pro baseball player named Billy Sunday came on his day off and heard the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, gave his life to Jesus. Then he heard a message by Mordecai Ham. He joined up with Mordecai Ham, who gave his life to Jesus. Mordecai Ham preached a message where a young man who didn't want to go to the event, who was kicked out of a youth group for being called too worldly by the youth group, that man's name was Billy Graham, gave his life to Jesus, and what is estimated, he's preached the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to over 2.2 billion people, right? He's got potential. We're expecting big things from him, right? All because one man, years upon years ago, just said yes to reaching 1. Now, as a result, years after that, over 2.2 billion people, more people than the Apostle Paul, have presented the gospel to. In his day, over 2.2 billion people heard the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. because somebody committed to just say yes to one. So church, today, we've got to be committed to saying yes to reaching one more. We got to be committed to bringing them to church. We got to be committed to building small groups. We got to be committed to building teams. And we got to be committed to living out the mission, because there's one more out there. And if that's who Jesus is going after, that's who we're going to go after. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we praise you.